There's a clue.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, so this morning we're continuing our series on hearing from God. Can I have the next slide? So, if you want... There we are. Got a QR code thing here. So this just links to a little quiz that you can do. Hopefully it doesn't link to BBC Sport, which, you know, would be embarrassing. But that should be just a little thing to keep you maybe entertained. This is going to be problematic. There we are. Okay, I want to ask you this question at the start. When in life, what are the times that you really consciously, cognitively want to hear from God? When are the times in life that you will press in, you'll listen, you'll plead in desperation and long for and be satisfied for even just a word from God? And in those times, what is it you want God to say? We're going to look at some scripture this morning and we're going to answer some of those questions, but I want us also to consider our blind spots. So today I want us to go through, come to the next slide, the warning of listening, the ease of partial deafness, and the path of hearing. So the warning to listen. So I was asked to preach today, I think it was last week or the week before, and just as I was being asked, I was talking to a colleague, and she was telling me that she had recently been to the opticians, and the reason she'd been to the opticians was to get a hearing test, because apparently you go to see opticians to get your hearing tested. Who knew? But she picked an appointment because she was worried that she was starting to lose her hearing. She wasn't picking up what people were saying. So she went and she went to the opticians. They did all their tests. They did their examinations. And at the end, they said, your hearing's perfect. Your hearing is perfect. Mechanically, everything's spot on. You're just not listening. You know. So she was just switching off, you know, the reason she was telling the story was because she did that very thing in front of us. So she just wasn't listening. Our hearing was perfect, but she just wasn't listening. And I thought, how apt. I think I could weave that into this sermon sometime. That idea of hearing, having the ability to hear, but letting our wayward concentration, our daydreams, missing out on what is being said to you. And this is something that Jesus actually gives us a warning about. In Luke 8, Jesus has just told the parable of the sower. He's sown some seed. Some of it's fallen the path, it's been eaten by birds, some of it has fallen rocky ground, some amongst the thorns, and also some on fertile ground. And Jesus then says this. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those in the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Now, we've now got in your Bibles probably a little heading that says a lamp on a stand, but there's no such break in the text. And the text goes on to this. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. It seems surprising that Jesus would tell a story about sowing seeds, then tell a story about not hiding your light. And his conclusion to that would seem to be, because it says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. There is a warning to listen and also how to listen. And what I hope to pull out today is to help us carefully consider how we're to listen. Not if we can, that seems to be a given, but to stop, to think, to consider, and to consider with care how we listen. Because if you're like me, those questions I asked at the start, when do you want to hear God? What do you want to hear God tell you? If I'm being honest, for me, maybe it's for you as well, I want to hear God when things are a bit tricky in life. I want him to tell me what I need to do. And ultimately, I want to hear that I don't need to worry because he's got everything under control and everything's going to be okay. That's my pattern. You may recognise that, you may not. But the times that you listen or are listening the most are the times that you're in need. You might be experiencing illness, poor health, frustrations. And in those moments, you understand that God can speak and you're desperate to know that he watches over you, your family, your people, and that he's got you cared for. However, if we are to carefully consider how we are to listen, then in this pattern, you might recognize there are two things I think result from the culture that we live in. And these are, can we have the next slide? And the next one. Go back. I've not put this one in. There we are. So you'll just have to be, those visual learners will just have to stick with us. Two things that you might notice from that pattern. It's very impatient. It's a very impatient way to approach listening to God. And it's also a very individualistic way to approach listening to God. And those are the two things that we're going to try and think about this morning. Because last week, Guy, who was preaching last week, made an excellent point. He was expressing thanks that the Bible that we have, you've got it on your phone, perhaps, in paper, in front of you, and it's in our own language. That's not always been the case. I recently did research into my family tree, and there was a common theme for my ancestors from about late 1800s all the way back, and that is that they always signed their name with an X. Now, they weren't called X. Why would they sign their name with an X? They couldn't read and they couldn't write. So even 120 years ago, illiteracy rates were not what they were today. So not only can you pick up a Bible in your own language for free, but you can actually probably read it. And you know, the Bible says that faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So we can, with confidence, pick up our Bible and thinking back to what Guy was saying last week, you can hear God really easily. But to further my point, not only can you read your Bible in English, but I'm preaching to you all in English this morning as well. You know, it wasn't until the Reformation that most sermons would have been in Latin. And did you know, fun fact that I learned this week, it was only in the 1960s that the Catholic Church said that Mass could be said in the vernacular language. That's just a posh way of saying the local language. So, you can pick up the Word of God, you can read the Word of God, you can come on a Sunday morning and you can hear. What a blessing. Think about the majority of time that's passed since Jesus was on earth. It could be said that this is actually the easiest time to hear God than there's been at any other time. Some of the major barriers have been removed, but you know what gets even better? I'm glad you're sitting down because I'm going to sound like a really exciting person just in a second. Because you know what I love to do? I'd love to go for runs, I love to go for walks. And when I do that, or if I'm driving, I love to listen to sermons. You know, now, today, for free, without having to travel the world, I can get my phone and I can listen to some of the best preachers from perhaps the last 70 years. I can listen to Martin Lloyd-Jones. I can listen to Tim Keller. I can listen to Don Carson, Sinclair Ferguson, Julian Mott, Alistair Begg, Kevin DeYoung, some of the best communicators of the gospel, and without cost. You know, I can listen to them and I can think, I'm feeling a bit anxious just now. I think I'll listen to Pray in Our Fears by Tim Keller. I can put it on loop. If I want to understand the Nicene Creed a little bit better, I can go to Kevin DeYoung's series on it. I can just press play and I'll be in my happy place. And I reckon I'll be pretty much guaranteed to hear from God. Whoever I want, whenever I want, and on whatever subject that I want. However, carefully consider how you listen. I've said it, I listen to all these people. I do that. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that there's maybe a blind spot. Picture this scene. You've got the church in Philippi, and they've heard that Paul has written them a letter just for them. It's coming. They've been gathered together, and someone's going to read it out loud. The church is gathered together, and at the back, there's an individual, and he's got some parchments of paper. And someone says to him, what's that you've got there? And he says, oh, it's 1 Thessalonians. Well, and they'd say, well, why are you reading 1 Thessalonians? We're about to get a letter directly from Paul for us. Oh, but 1 Thessalonians is good. And it is good. But God was speaking directly to that church through the letter from Paul. You know what I'm saying? It can be really easy to hear from God today. But I want you to consider carefully how you place the teachings, the worship, and the sharings that happen on a Sunday morning amongst us, amongst all the other opportunities that you have to hear from God. Because this is the only place where he gathers us together and where God speaks collectively to us as a church. Have your quiet time. Love it. It's biblical and it's great. Listening to Tim Keller, come talk to me, we'll share notes. But it is so easy to place those things above what happens here today. But this is your church, this is our church, this is the bride of Christ, and we have to carefully consider and hear God speak to us as a collective people and not just be listening to God for our own individual circumstances. We'll never have the best preachers available to us here. But we do have a group of people who will speak, who will pray, who will consider, who will think, and who will plan about what God is saying to us. I was thinking this morning, Ephesians 5:9 says, well, it says address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know, in our worship, it's dead easy to think it's just me and thee. I'm going to close my eyes and I'm just going, it's just between me and God. That's not what that scripture says. It says address one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Open your eyes during worship. Connect with people. Speak the word of God to other people here. Because, you know, as a culture, we have been finely tuned to consider our own needs and to look out for ourselves. And for some of us, that will have seeped into how we think we should hear from God. It's really interesting that Ben was quoted part of scripture that was leading up to the Lord's Prayer this morning, because that's what I've got here. I've been thinking about the Lord's Prayer this week in relation to this. I don't know if you sometimes do this. You take scripture and you just emphasize maybe one or two words and it brings out a new meaning, or it just highlights something. So the obvious example that I would use would be, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. If you just emphasize if in that statement, Jesus saying, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, it just highlights it and brings it afresh. Can we have the next slide? I've been doing this with the Lord's Prayer this week. I'm just going to read this as normal. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Remember what Ben said this morning. Jesus is telling people, close the door, go away, be in private and pray. Let's emphasize us and our. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Even when in private, behind the closed door, the model that Jesus shows here is that our prayer and our listening should just not be for thee and me. We need to think and listen better and with more care as a church, because this is the place where biblically our strong bonds can be stronger than even those of flesh. And the ease of listening partially, it's just that. It's easy and it's partial. So, as a church, will we be committed to listening regularly on a Sunday collectively? I know it can be really hard to listen on a Sunday morning, especially when you've got access to the best preachers in the world. But this is the place where you will hear the word of God preached for us, your family, your town, and there's no other place on earth that you will find that. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Pray for the preacher regularly, but also pray for the listeners. Pray for the speaker and those who will listen, and that through what we do on a Sunday morning, we would collectively hear God speak to us. So, we've had the warning to listen with care and the warning of partial, easy listening. But who here would love to hear God speak to us every day? Yes! Four people. Not even Meatloaf had a bar that low. Okay, can we have the next slide? If you've got a Bible, can you open it to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 19 to 32? And I'm going to be asking a question at the end of this. And the question is, what is being spoken about here? So, Proverbs 8, verse 19, and we'll probably go to 32. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasures full. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs, abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was placed there when he set the heavens in place. When he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so that the water would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. If you're not sure who that's talking about, you can look at the start of chapter 8. What's this talking about?
Wisdom.
It's talking about wisdom. And, you know, when I think about a lot of the times when I want a direct phone call from God, what I actually need is wisdom. When I face situations where there's no moral black and white, where I need to make a decision, what I need is actually wisdom to speak and wisdom to guide. You know, the Bible won't give you answers for some of the biggest decisions you will make in life. Should I marry this person? Should I marry at all? What course choices should I make for school? What career should I pursue? But you know what will guide you in all these things? Wisdom. Tim Keller, when I was listening to one of his sermons, describes wisdom as competence with regards to the complex realities of life. Wisdom is competence with regards to the complex realities of life. And often when we say we need to hear from God, what we really need to hear is wisdom guiding us along the paths that we walk. Godly wisdom isn't just being clever. Proverbs 2:6, James 3:17 make some things clear. Wisdom is good and it comes from God. But you know what? Our culture doesn't talk about wisdom. Do you ever wonder why? Let me tell you a story about growing up in the 80s. Can we have the next slide? Who knows what this is? This is a page Argos catalogue. This is a page from Argos catalogue in the 1980s. Let me tell you, growing up in the 1980s, you'd save up your pocket money. You'd save it up. And finally, you'd have your £6 that you could afford to go buy Chewbacca. And it'd be, say it was a Monday, and you'd say to, you know, say, Mum, I've got my money, I've saved up, I want to go buy Chewbacca. And she would say, that's great. Well, maybe you go to Dundee on Saturday. But it's Monday! It's Monday, so you'd have your money's burning a hole in your pocket, it would come to Saturday, you'd get up, have your breakfast, get in the car, drive to Dundee, find a parking space, go to the Wellgate, get dragged around BHS for a couple of hours, get taken a little bit further through the Wellgate, and you'd get to Argos. Magical place, and they've got the little pens, the little bits of paper, and you'd go in and you'd see, you'd open your Finder page, and you'd see catalogue item, whatever it is, you'd write it down, and then you'd take, are you stuck? Exactly! Are you stuck? Gotta come back a week later! Every time! You know, Argos do same day delivery now. Imagine, you know, young people now, you can download your movies instantly, you can buy things and they can be delivered straight away. And, you know, maybe the reason our culture doesn't talk about wisdom is because not only is it individualistic, but it's also impatient. If you have a problem, you Google it. Your social media will tell you, or will probably be shown you because of the algorithms. Can we have the next slide? Genuine clips from Amazon. So you can go on Amazon, you'll find a book for it. And what all these things are trying to do is take the complex realities of your situation and they're going to try and give you a life hack. Anxious. Here are three steps you can do to banish it. Here's a toolkit. In fact, I think the Paul McKenna one even says toolkit in there. Here's some techniques to master. Get a new puppy. You want to stop it peeing everywhere? Here's a book. Do these five things. Do you need your children to stop misbehaving and start making smarter choices? Do you need to lose weight? Here are your solutions to fix your problems today. And you know what? Our thoughts and our beliefs on hearing from God are absolutely influenced by that. Can God speak in a moment? Yes. But what if there is a voice in addition to the instant voice of God? A path of lifelong listening, and that voice is wisdom. If you read Proverbs in your own time, because we don't have time this morning, you will notice that wisdom and life are often talked about in pathways. Can I have the next slide? Here's a picture of our walk yesterday, walking through some woods. It's used over 700 times talking about paths and pathways. And if it's used that often, maybe there's a reason that it's described as a path. Why walking paths? Why not a door or a bridge? Why not running? Why not sprinting? Why not jumping? Could it be because wisdom from God comes from being more like the tortoise than the hare? A life spent and being guided through paths tells us that wisdom will come not by a flash of lightning, but instead by the steady, the mundane, the boring daily habits and actions that you do. It's about left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. Keep doing what you've been doing. Don't stop. Don't think about stopping. Don't get off today. Keep going. Don't veer to the left. Don't jump with that fad. Don't jump to the right. Keep going. Keep walking. Because you know what? Getting wisdom is possibly the most countercultural thing that you could do. You're not going to get it off Twitter. You're not going to get it in a week. Instead, God's wisdom will be given to you as you decide what your daily habits are going to be. It's as simple as, I'd borrow Jane's pen this morning because I didn't have a pen. Jane brings a notebook and a pen every Sunday. Left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. It's not exciting. It's going to take up a lot of your time. But remember God's promise that we read in 8 verse 19. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. You know what? There's nothing better that this world can offer. And yet, if you're like me, that sinful part of us will crave the instant and the easy. What God is calling us is steady, mundane, boring, repeated actions. Spending time daily reading the Bible, even when you don't think God's giving you revelation, spending time praying, even when you don't think he's answering. Praying not just for you, but for your church and your people. And what this tells us is that if you do that every day, over and over, eventually the Bible promises that you will become a wise person and that you will become competent with regards to the complexities of life and that wisdom will guide you down straight paths. I want that for me. But you know what? I want to be in a church that is filled with wise, godly people. People who do the left, right stuff. But if this is sounding abstract and theoretical to you, let me ask this question to you. What difference would it make to you if wisdom wasn't just a set of rules, but instead wisdom was a person? Go over the next slide. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 1:24, he describes Jesus as two things. He describes Jesus as the power of God, but also the wisdom of God. You know what that means if it's true? Just think about that for a second. All that we've said about wisdom. If Jesus is the wisdom of God, that means that Proverbs 8 is actually talking about Jesus. That Jesus' fruit is better than fine gold. That he will guide you in paths of righteousness. That Jesus was there before the foundations of all the earth. That he delighted in it. And that he was the craftsman by God's side. And that he was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in God's presence. Jesus is better than anything else that this world can offer us. And think, it was Jesus who gave up his life for the church. Jesus is the wisdom that will guide you along straight paths. And so the daily repeated actions we need to think about, the left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. You need to spend time with Jesus. Jesus was there at creation. That means his voice will not come and go with the times. It will not guess. It knows the pattern. It sees the full picture. It will not crumble. It will not fade. The ladies are going through the Gospel of Mark in their Bible study. Spending time getting to know Jesus. As a church, if we want to hear from God, will we commit our quiet times, the times that we could be doing other stuff, to the boring, mundane habits of getting to know Jesus? Because that way, as a church, we will hear God and we will thrive and we will be guided along paths of righteousness. And that's what I want for King's House Perth. Shall we pray? Jesus, thank you that your voice is not distant. Thank you, Jesus, that your voice is not far off, but your voice is here. Thank you for all the ways that we can hear God, that we can hear you. Help us to do the left foot, right foot stuff this week, Jesus. We pray for the preachers who speak in this church. May they speak your word, but we pray even more for the listeners of that. May they hear what you are saying to us. May the bonds here be stronger than the bonds of blood. And guide us, Jesus, guide us. May we learn to grow in your wisdom. And may we see the fruits that we reaped this morning. Amen.